Meine Damen und Herren, ich möchte Ihnen zunächst unsere Gäste vorstellen. Wir haben hier als Gäste 6 sehr kompetente Mitarbeiter einiger Zentren der Gandhi Peace Foundation in Indien. Und zwar sind Sie hier auf Einladung europäischer Friedensgruppen in Europa auf Reisen. In Deutschland sind Sie Gast des Vereins für interkulturellen Austausch. Alle sind, wie gesagt, langjährige Mitarbeiter in den Zentren der Gandhi Peace Foundation. Zunächst 3 Mitarbeiter, die in der Zentrale in Delhi arbeiten. Das ist als erstes Frau Rita Roy, die vor allem für die Erarbeitung von Programmen für ausländische Studiengruppen verantwortlich ist. Aber zu ihrer Arbeit gehört vor allem auch Nai Talim, das von Mahatma Gandhi erarbeitete neue Erziehungs- und Bildungsprogramm. Und sie leitet ein Programm, das unter dem Motto steht, Gandhi to Schools. Es werden hier also Programme vor allem für Schulkinder erarbeitet. Auch Herr Ramesh Sharma ist sehr stark mit der Arbeit mit Kindern und Jugendlichen beschäftigt. Aber er erarbeitet auch insgesamt Programme zu Menschenrechts- und Friedensaktionen und zum Friedenstraining in Indien, also Human Rights Peace Action and Peace Training, und koordiniert vor allem die Arbeit der Gandhi Peace Foundation Zentren in Indien und auch in Südasien. Herr Babulal Sharma ist neben der Mitarbeit an der aktiven Programmgestaltung vor allem innerhalb des Gandhi Peace Foundation in Delhi für die Logistik zuständig und für öffentliche Angelegenheiten und insgesamt. Diese 3 kommen aus Delhi, und dann haben wir noch 3 weitere Gäste, die sozusagen 3 der 4 Ecken Indiens repräsentieren. Aus dem Norden Indiens, from the north of India, kommt Nima Vaishnava. Sie kommt aus dem Staat Uttarakhand. Sie ist Sekretärin des Lakshmi Ashrams in Korsani, also hoch im Gebirge, im Himalaya. Und sie neben ihrer Tätigkeit dort als Sekretärin unterrichtet sie aber auch Sanskrit und Hindi. Der Lakshmi Ashram ist eine Internatsschule für Mädchen, von vor 60 Jahren von Sharala Devi gegründet, die übrigens deutscher Herkunft ist. Sie ist in England aufgewachsen, aber ihre Eltern waren Deutsche. Wir haben also hier sogar eine gewisse nationale Verbindung direkt zwischen Korsani und Deutschland. Hier haben wir also den Norden repräsentiert. Herr Aditya Patnaik kommt aus dem Osten, aus Orissa, wo er vor allem in den Stammesgebieten arbeitet, und zwar speziell mit den Chantals oder Santals, die bereits schon von Herrn Professor Ebert in seinem Referat erwähnt wurden und die im Zusammenhang mit Tagore auch außerordentlich wichtig sind. Er leitet hier unterstützt eine Organisation für die Entwicklung des Bewusstseins der Ärmsten der Armen, Antodaya Chetna Mandal, eine Organisation, die sich speziell mit den Tribals in diesem Gebiet beschäftigt. Als letzter, aber keineswegs als einer der geringsten, möchte ich Herrn Dr. Kulanda Sami nennen. Er kommt aus dem Süden, aus Chennai, ist Sekretär des dortigen Gandhi Peace Foundation Centers. Und auch hier, auch in seiner Arbeit, wie auch in der Arbeit der anderen, spielt die Frage der Arbeit mit den Jugendlichen eine sehr große Rolle. Sein Zentrum leitet eine School of Peace Education, wo Kinder und Jugendliche sowohl durch interreligiöse Arbeit als auch durch konstruktive Arbeit zum Friedenstraining gebracht werden und wo also Spannungen abgebaut werden sollen und so weiter, wobei vor allem eben auch neben der konstruktiven Arbeit, also manuell, auch Musik, Tanz, Literatur, gemeinsamer Besuch von religiösen Einrichtungen und so weiter eine Rolle spielen. Das heißt, wir haben hier sehr kompetente Vertreter der Arbeit mit dem gandhischen Ideengut unter den heutigen Bedingungen, sodass wir hier, glaube ich, sehr viele Anregungen auch mitnehmen können. Die Vorgehensweise wird vielleicht so sein, dass wir von den Punkten, die Herr Professor Ebert in seinem Beitrag genannt hat, einiges hier herausgreifen und gemeinsam diskutieren wollen, wobei im Anschluss dann auch für Sie Gelegenheit besteht, Fragen an unsere Gäste zu stellen. Die Themen, die sich anbieten zur Diskussion, sind erstens Non-Violence und Non-Cooperation als eines der wichtigen Punkte, wo es Gemeinsamkeiten und Kontroversen gibt zwischen Gandhi und Tagore. Der zweite Komplex könnte sein das Kastensystem und die Unberührbarkeit, Caste System and Untouchability, Village Reconstruction oder das Dorferneuerungsprogramm, unterschiedliche Sichtweisen von Gandhi und Tagore, On Communalism, zum Kommunalismus, also Kommunalismus, das Verhältnis der religiösen Gemeinschaften zueinander, On Education, Vorstellung vom Bildungswesen, das Verständnis von Religion und das Recht der Frauen oder die Stellung zur Frau insgesamt. Wir wollen jetzt in die Diskussion zu diesen Punkten einsteigen und vielleicht als letztes auf den Punkt der sozialen Veränderungen und die Vorstellungen, die beide hatten, und den Friedensgedanken kommen. Ich möchte also jetzt zunächst mal unsere Gäste bitten, zu fragen, wer zum Thema Non-Violence und Non-Cooperation als erster einiges sagen möchte. Bitte. Herr Sharma.
Friend. First, I thanks Indian Embassy, the organizers, the panel chairperson, on behalf of my group, on this great occasion, we get a chance to talk about you, the two great son of the soil, two tower personality from the India, Tagore and Gandhi. Both Gurudev and Gandhi, the range of differences between Gandhi and Tagore, apart from the non-cooperation and charkha, extended to several other social problems also. But today, I want to share with you a point that they are having big differences between them, opposing each other in papers, in letters, but same time, they are the great friends, giving respects, proud of each other, serving for brighter India, serving for the people of India with same zeal. That thing, so I take the differences are there, especially on charkha, especially on boycott, non-cooperation, burning of British cloth. They are writing many letters, many articles, each other and some of other people, the differences they are converting in the controversy. But Gandhi and Tagore, both are taking that thing on a difference level. They are differences and they are agree with that. But same time, today I want to submit in starting in this world we are living and what the relevance of that difference today, we can learn from Gandhi and Tagore how we can live with the differences, how we can give the space to other with the great or big after differences also. If big differences are there, still we can give respect, we can give space to other. That thing I want to share with you, and that thing I am learning myself from these great two personalities, Gurudev Gandhi, the land of Gautam, Ganga and Gai.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
I would like to
Yes, Mr. Sharma, please.
The charkha, for Gandhi, it was a tool to get the freedom. And he used the charkha as a tool to awaken the society. While for Tagore, it was just economics. So the Tagore was a philosopher. So he gave his philosophy and the interpretation of the economic aspect of charkha and khadi. While Gandhi used this charkha and khadi as a tool to get the freedom for the masses. And by this way, he involved everybody into the Swadeshi movement. Swadeshi movement is also a movement for the collectivity, to make the awareness and to arouse the nation against the regime. That's my point.
Yeah. Mr. Swami, how do you use chakra today in your constructive program?
See, in Gandhi Peace Foundation projects in Chennai, we use the charkha. It's a modification of the original charkha. Gandhiji was spinning with a big charkha. Now they have brought it in box charkha. And it is even reduced to small book size charkha, which we can carry in trains, we can spin wherever we are. And there is a spindle also that is called thakli, with which we can spin. We are giving training to our youth to spin for their self-reliance. The main thing is, Gandhiji wanted to get freedom by self-reliance. This is very essential. He could have got it by some other means. But as Bible says, whoever takes the sword, they perish by the sword. And whatever means you take, the end is shaped by the means. So in our projects, it becomes a very popular thing because it gives you, it entertains you physically. So the correlation between body, mind and soul. So it's very important for Gandhiji as well as Tagore. So when you involve youth constructively to produce something that is useful for the whole society, for whole creation, then the intellect becomes the right means to achieve self-realization, that for which Gandhiji was aspiring for which Tagore also has said this in many of his poems.
Thank you. I think there are many more questions, especially the understanding of Tagore or the meaning he had about the chakra. But I think we shall continue with the next point. That means the question of Varna Dharma Shastra and the untouchability. Mrs. Roy, can you say something about the common thoughts and differences between Gandhiji and Gurudev Tagore?
Well, as far as the question of this Varnashram and the caste system is concerned, I mean, there was no doubt that both of them were opposed to the caste system. It is a matter of controversy in some respect because Gandhi had supported at some point of time the Varnashram Dharm. But when he supported the Varnashram, it was not in the sense of trying to discriminate, but it was more from the point of view of economic efficiency that he had supported the Varnashram Dharma. As far as the caste system was concerned, well, there was no doubt about it that both of them were opposed to the caste system. And when Gandhi announced his fast for the removal of untouchability, Tagore did not hesitate to support him. And also, it is well known that when Tagore visited Shantiniketan, when he returned from South Africa, he visited Shantiniketan, and he had introduced the system of interdining. It was a system which was, of course, continued even by Tagore. Of course, it was a different matter that later on, after some time, it was quietly dropped because I think some of the parents of the children had protested. But there was no doubt about it that both of them stood for the abolition of this system.
Yeah, thank you. I remember that still in Shantiniketan, every year on the 10th of March, they celebrate the Gandhi Day. Yeah. And on this day, everyone is doing some voluntary work, cleaning the rooms and so on. So this kind of work, that everyone, every work is the same and has to be estimated. I think that is very important. This thought is with Tagore that's okay. But on the other side, there are, as far as I know, some differences between them with regard to the caste system. The Varna Dharma system means that we have these four different estates, not castes in the society. That means the Brahmins, the Kshatriyas, the Vaishnyas, and the Shudras. And as far as I know, Gandhi was not so very much against this division because he said that it's a justified social division. But he was against the discrimination. But I think what Professor Ewart has already shown, that Gandhi has changed also his understanding in the course of his life with regard to this non-mixture of different groups, with regard to the marriage of the people belonging to different groups and so on. But how is the situation today in India with regard to this this caste system and the untouchability? Is this still in the center of your work? Do you have to struggle against untouchability even today? Yeah.
Sorry, I'm sorry to say that caste system is a part of our Hindu society. And it is a fact that we are still prevailing this system. But untouchability, the feeling of untouchability is going down because of many opportunities that are available to the downtrodden classes. And they are also joining the mainstream. They are also in the schools, colleges, in the offices. So that sense of untouchability is now reducing. But there are many other differences between the caste, on the basis of caste. And I think that it may have some social relevance, but moreover, it has more political implications, political results, political provocations.
Thank you. Yeah. And what is your experience, Mr. Patnaik? You work with the scheduled tribes.
Untouchability among the scheduled caste or the scheduled tribe is not much where the percentage of this community live. It is very much in those areas, especially the plain areas, where the minimum percentage of the scheduled caste live, and the maximum percent of the general people live. What I just can see at the moment, there is no much untouchability that you can see in our community because of the education has gone higher now, and people have started realizing this. And because of the intercaste, interreligion, interregion too, the marriages, the education, and also employment, this has given a boom to stop this untouchability. But untouchability 30, 40 years before it was, the ratio has come down as on today.
Thank you. I think we have time perhaps later on for some more questions with regard to this topic. I want to shift now to the village reconstruction program. And I think Nima can tell us something what they are doing in this field with regard to the Lakshmi Ashram. It's a school for girls, but it is not only a school for girls, it's much more.
Our school is actually based on Gandhi's thought. That means that Gandhi's basic educational thought, a holistic development of a human. So we are working for the girls. We have all the girls from all different castes, they belong to the different caste. Also, would like to say that we try to make understand what is the caste system and what is the equality of religion, all these things we are practicing in our organization. And we are working in the villages where in the mountain area we have lot of problems which is faced of women mainly facing this kind of problem. So like water, land and forest, and so we are giving them education how to increase the water and what we have to do for that, and we are doing planting a lot of saplings of the oak trees which are very useful for the mountain area. And we have a big campaign to save one of our small river which is a lifeline of our areas. And we are also giving education them how they have income generation program also we are running there, how they earn the money and how they can be self-reliant from doing their own work. Like we also providing them the charkha, what he has been discussing. So charkha is still very relevant in the mountain area. We don't have cotton up there, but we are doing with wool, which is they are spinning the wool and making sweaters and shawls and other warm things and selling them in the market and earning money from there.
Thank you. You want to add something?
Yes. Yeah. I like to add on this reconstruction thought of the Mahatma and the Tagore. As you know, actually, India was ruled by the colonials around 200 years. And the economic backbone of the villages, mostly the Indian villages, were settled. And around 75% people live in the villages. And over centuries, actually, these villages has been the center of the culture. So what was that? And there's a lot of poverty those days when actually Gandhi came to Shantiniketan in 1915. And he met actually Tagore. And also in Tagore conferred the Mahatma in 1915 when he came to his ashram. What both found that there is a lot of poverty in the villages because Shantiniketan surrounding, around the periphery of Shantiniketan was also dealing with a lot of poverty, with a lot of tribals. So both of them agreed that there should be a kind of poverty eradication. The difference was, Tagore was just a dreaming personality. He was thinking that the poverty should be rooted out from the mind of the poor people. And that's why some of the folk dances, folk culture, folk song, these are to be developed in the mind of the poor people, in the mind of the tribals, so that they live, they can realize, they can come with a sense of their own development. But Gandhi, who very much realized the poverty of the villages, the poverty of the poor people, he felt, no, there is a need, a kind of programs, reconstruction programs, constructive movement. There are so many actual programs he added, around 18-point programs, beginning from the communal unity, integrity, then prohibition, then tribals, then working for the leprosy, then education, adult education, Naitalim, basic education. There are so many programs he just introduced, and he felt we'll have to go and intervene with certain programs so that people stand with their own. And this and charkha, what actually Babulal and my dear friend Dr. Kulandi Swami talked about, charkha. Charkha was the symbol of the self-reliance. Charkha was the symbol of the self-reliance. And what we are just doing, we are just taking... he also welcomed the ideas of the mass, production by masses. And charkha become one of the part of the reconstruction of villages, providing employment opportunity to the poor community.
Thank you. Again, this is a topic on which we could discuss the whole evening. But let us shift to the next point, that is the problem of communalism. I think that's a topic which is of vital importance, even in Germany, the question of how do the different religions behave against each other. I think, Dr. Sami, you can start perhaps with this topic, because you are doing a lot to strengthen the communal harmony in Chennai.
We are doing two kind of programs for promoting communal harmony. One is bringing representatives from different religions. In India, especially in Chennai, south part of India, we have seven religions, including Zoroastrianism. So we bring friends from different religions. They will sit on the same platform. We provide them 1 hour. Each religion, they will pray, offer prayer for peace for 5 minutes each. So there will be a final song from national poet Bharati. With that, the prayer ends. And we don't allow anyone to talk during the prayer. So we have conducted nearly 100 sessions in the past 8 years. And the result is we could get friendship from different religion. It was a religious get-together. We could promote communal harmony. The second thing, we conduct courses on interreligious courses on appreciation and understanding of different religions. We take children to different religious places. They come to understand the beauty of different religion. One impact out of this courses is when we went to a mosque, there was a youth from a Hindu religion, and he confessed that Muslims, they get together 5 times in a day and pray, and he appreciated that aspect. And when a Muslim boy was taken to a Hindu temple, and in Hindu temples you can see they show arati in front of the gods, and they give this ash. No, that's we call vibhuti, that's holy powder. And it means we are going to become ashes at the end. So these are the relevant points students learn. So this is how we organize program with the youth to promote communal harmony.
Thank you. Yes, please, Mr. Sharma.
Friends, as you know already, Gandhi started all religious prayer in the Gandhi ashram. Early in the morning, still in Sabarmati ashram, in Sivagrama ashram, at 4:30 you go, and if any person is there, any religion people is available or not, present or not, we sing from all religion. That's called all religious prayer, some part of that. And in our own organization, the groups, Gandhian groups, we are in our seminars, meetings, conferences, we have all religious prayer. And same time, we are publishing material like that, understanding of other religion. You follow your own religion, but know about others. So even Gandhi Peace Foundation publishes a big book, and the Sarsiva Sangh, he publishes a small book about other religion. What is Buddhism, what is Jainism, what is Christianism, what is Jainism, like that. And we have a big diversity in our country, because 4 big religions were born in India: Hindu, Sikh, Jain, and Bodh. And even we have Parsis, we have other religions also, Christians, even Baha'is. So like that, in that diversity we are living together, and that thing helping us. Nowadays, we started one more thing. In Delhi, we tried that. In the occasion of in some families, we are starting with the all religious prayer. Because then if you entered in the families, then people will follow more. So in Delhi, we started this practice. At the time of some function or festival, we do follow this all religious prayer.
Thank you. Now I think we will come to the topic of education. And I think, Mrs. Roy, you can give us just a short outlook of what Nai Talim really means.
Nai Talim, as the name suggests, it means new education. Nai is new and Talim is education. We must remember that when Gandhi and, of course, Tagore, when they were both there in the, you know, active in Indian, in the social and political spheres, the both of them had realized that the system of education which was imposed on India by the British, it was not only unsuitable for India, but it had destroyed much of Indian culture and much of the people's, you know, what was within them and their value of their own culture and of their own worth. So both of them realized that there was an urgent need to rectify these problems. So Gandhi, of course, in his, he had earlier when he was in South Africa, he had tried out various experiments for the education of his own family and for the children of the others who were in the ashram. And when he returned to India, he tried to put these into more concrete forms. And of course, he devised this education, what we now call Nai Talim or basic education. The main thing that was the central point of this, as most of you know, was that the education, A, it was to be in the mother tongue of the child, and B, it was to be in close conformity, you know, with the nature and the environment of the child, which was something that was being totally neglected. And thirdly, what was most important was that education would be woven around a central craft. In his case, of course, because of the importance he gave to Charkha, the central craft was spinning. And this was not just to be an additional subject like it is today in the schools. It was not just a kind of, craft work or something, but the entire education was to be woven around this craft. And therefore, Gandhi, in his system, what he stressed on was the three H's as opposed to the three R's. That is, you know, commonly stressed. We talk of reading, writing, and arithmetic. Gandhi talked of developing the head, the heart, and the hand. All psychologists would agree that there was nothing wrong with this system of education. Of course, Gandhi was criticized on many grounds, especially on this aspect of the craft, because people felt that he was laying too much emphasis on the craft and not the creative aspect of the craft, but as a tool for utility. And Tagore also was uncomfortable with this aspect because he felt that Gandhi was emphasizing too much on the practical and utilitarian aspect of the scheme rather than on developing a sense of beauty or joy, which is what was most, which he felt was most important. But of course, the system of, Nai Talim, it had its sound education, its psychological foundations, and it was something which I think we still need in India today.
Thank you. Now, I think it would be of interest how the concept of Rabindranath Tagore was in relation to Gandhi's concept. Was there any difference?
Well, the difference, as I see, both of them, even Tagore talked about